Okay, Arian, let's start at the very beginning. What did your journey of getting to Arizona look like?
So I'm from Katy, Texas. I went to Katy High School. I played DB all 4 years. They moved me around a little bit. I played free, I played rover, I played corner, I played outside backer a little bit. But yeah, I always did for sure. I was a running back in junior high and like little league. So like going into high school, I always thought I was going to be a running back, and like not really knowing, like obviously I'm not built like a running back, so I didn't really understand it at first. And like I remember when they told me I was going to be a safety, I was kind of like, dang, like was I just not good enough to be a running back, or like why did they put me at safety? And then obviously I got older and like realized like, no, this is actually just the right fit for me. So I'm glad they did that for me and kind of like guided me in the right direction. But yeah, I started getting offers my sophomore year. It was kind of like earlier in the season, and like it was a big like change. Like I didn't really know anything about recruiting and stuff, and like my first offer was USC. And like I remember like my coach called me into his office and told me he needed to talk to me after practice. And I thought it was going to be something with scheme, maybe they wanted to move me to outside backer or like do something like that. But he was actually just trying to give me the coach's number because they weren't allowed to contact me. So he just told me, hey, just give him a call like after lunch and just talk to him. He's a coach from USC. He wants to talk to you. And that's actually Coach Navar, the coach that's here now. So it was kind of a cool little thing how it ended up coming back around. And so I called him, and he didn't answer at first. So like I was just kind of like, whoa, like now what? And I remember going to class, and he texted me and was like, hey, like, sorry, I'm in meetings, but just like call me back as soon as you can. And I asked his teacher if I could just step out, and I FaceTimed him, and he ended up offering my first offer. And I remember, like, I literally almost cried. I wasn't expecting it at all. And like, growing up, like my mom's from Mexico, my dad's from Iran. So like, I didn't grow up like watching college football, like, you know, or really NFL. I didn't really watch football a lot. And so like, I remember getting the offer from USC and like not knowing what conference they were in, or like not knowing anything really about college football. And just being like, dang, like this is what I've been dreaming about, and like now it's starting to come to reality. But I got to figure this out. Like I don't really know like who to ask. Like my parents don't really know too much about football, at least like college football and stuff. So my recruiting process was definitely like interesting, like time in my life. Like I remember telling my dad. I got home. I told my dad, like, Dad, I got my first like D1 offer. Like, and he's just kind of like what's D1 like? What does that even mean? And so like I love my parents, and they've always been like super supportive of me, but it's just like it was a big learning curve for like I think all of us. And so luckily my neighbor Josh, he like a brother to me, his family, big LSU fans, they're from Louisiana. And so like I would always be at their house, and they would always be watching college football. So like I just kind of sat down and talked to their dad. Like their dad's like basically another dad to me. So taking his advice was definitely like something that had helped me through the whole recruiting process. And like every time I get an offer, like had any questions, I would always go to him and talk to him about it. Sure.
Wow. When did you get to
Arizona? Also my sophomore year. I think they were my fifth offer. It's pretty early. And so I was just able to get like just in contact with them and build a long relationship with Coach Ty and Coach Cecil. And yeah, I just always felt like they were really consistent with recruiting me. I would FaceTime Ty all the time, and like it was, like I said, it was a weird spot to be in, because they couldn't contact me. I had to contact them, and I would always feel like I didn't want to bother them. I didn't want to just like randomly FaceTime them, and like I didn't know what their schedule was like, so I almost like felt bad to like be the one calling them. But Ty was always like made sure to, before like we ended the FaceTime call or the phone call or whatever, to like schedule the next one. So like it didn't feel like I was bothering or like interrupting anything. Like it was already planned. And so like I was really just consistently talking to Arizona, and then like they were just showing me a lot of love, like sending me a lot of mail and like just constantly talking to me. And then another big reason I came here was because Dalton was already here, and me and Dalton played side by side in high school, and like Dalton was like a big brother to me. I learned a lot from him. So knowing that he would already be here and have, you know, just having someone that I already knew and that could guide me through the whole process was definitely something that I looked forward to.
And when was it that you first tore your ACL?
I tore my ACL for the first time. It was my second to last high school football game. So it was Quarterfinals, we were playing at NRG Stadium. I didn't even make it to halftime. It was like second quarter. And yeah, I tried to get around somebody and my knee just kind of slipped out from underneath and just, I just felt a pop. And I never really experienced any like knee problems or anything. So it popped and at the time I had kind of like rolled my ankle. I had a sprained ankle. So when I fell, I was more worried about my ankle. My ankle was actually the one that kind of like bothered me the most because I kind of landed right back on that same ankle. So I was definitely more like concerned about my ankle, and I got it retaped, jogged off the sideline. Like, you know, I'm riding the bike, I'm running up and down the sideline, like worrying about my ankle. And I'm like, no, like more tape, more tape, more tape, more medicine, more tape, more medicine. And like, eventually, like I literally had like almost a boot. Like, they taped me, put a brace on, and then spatted me. So I like basically had a boot on, and so my ankle couldn't move at all. So my ankle was feeling a little better. But like sometimes when I would try to like run on the sideline, my knee would like kind of buckle. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, but like not worried about it, right? I'm more worried about my ankle. I need to get back in the game. And I remember at the time we were up 14. So I was like, okay, we're good. They cut that lead. It was 14 to 13. They missed a field goal. So it's a 1-point game. I literally remember telling myself, like, if they score on this drive, like, I need to go back in. And like, they ended up scoring. And so I told my coach, like, please just like put me back in. Like, I'll be fine. So I like went back in, and like it was a little bubble route. I'll never forget this. It was my last play, really. The nickel at the time gets off the block and kind of like wraps him up, and then I just finished him. And like it was probably the worst like cut break like of my life. Like I tried to plant on it, and just I had to like kind of round it off, but luckily my nickel was there. That like I already wrapped him up and everything. I just got to basically finish the tackle, but. Like I got up and my knee kind of just buckled again, and like I just knew I couldn't play anymore. Like it was I got lucky they didn't run a deep ball on me at that play, and so yeah, I kind of just got, you know, helped off to the sideline, and they finally like kind of just did the ACL test on me, and I'll never forget like our team doctor that's like there all the practices, all the games, he kind of just like put his hand around my neck and was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. And I was just like, what does that mean? Like, you're so sorry. Like, what happened? And then like eventually he told me like, you probably tore your ACL. And like, I think that's every football player's like worst nightmare. It's like tearing your ACL. And like me specifically, like growing up, my dad actually tore his ACL when I was little. And, like, he didn't get surgery for it for, like, a few. You can live without an ACL, but, like, you can't play football. So he tore his ACL and didn't get surgery for, like, 4 or 5 years. Got his surgery. Didn't really rehab that much. He was just ready to go back to work. And so, like, growing up, I never got to run around with my dad and play football. Like, he was always like, okay, I'm going to stand here and throw you the ball. Like, you go get it. And, like, I'm not complaining about it, but, like, that was definitely something that, like, I knew, like, how serious it was. Like you tear your ACL and like I don't know. And so I think the first thing that came into my mind when I heard that was like, well, I'm about to go to Arizona in like a month. Like what now? Like are they gonna like take my offer away? Are they gonna stop talking to me? I'm just verbally committed and I just tore my ACL. Like this is a whole for sure a season. Like you're out for a season. Like who knows what they'll do. So I remember I just cried. I mean, I cried and just like, I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do with myself. I told Coach Ty as soon as I could. Arizona was always really, really supportive of me and always just felt like they always had my back. So I remember talking to Coach Ty that night and he was just like, okay, well, like, just let me know what the MRI says and just keep me updated, but like, we're going to be okay. And so I got my MRI pretty soon. My knee never really swelled up. Too bad. And like that's the biggest kind of like thing with the ACL is like your knee usually tends to swell up and then you have to wait for the swelling to go down before you can get your surgery, and that kind of just delays the whole process. Mine was really weird. Mine never swelled up. I was walking pretty good, and like I went into that like doctor's appointment 100% sure like there's no way I tore my ACL. There's no way. And like obviously I did. The results came back. You completely tore your ACL. Luckily, like they said, nothing was wrong with my meniscus or anything. So it was just my ACL, and I'd be out for like 9 months. So then eventually, I was still verbally committed, so I didn't know like what that was going to be like. And luckily, kind of lined up perfectly with like the coaches coming down to visit us. So like Coach Fish and Coach Cecil, we had dinner and like just talked about it. And they were like, "Hey, like we're going to wait till signing day. Once you're signed, we're going to be able to fly you out here, get your surgery with our doctors, and then we'll fly you back home like right before Christmas. And then you'll be right back here in 2 weeks. So then we can just start the whole rehab process." So that's what we did. I flew out here. I got my surgery, flew back home right before Christmas. And then I was right back here on January 6th. And I just started my rehab. My rehab for the first one was kind of, it was good. It started on a weird note. Like my stitches kind of like came undone and I had like a hole in my knee. And like, this is my first time being in college. I was supposed to still be in high school. I'm in college. I'm away from my family for the first time. I just got ACL surgery. My knee's like constantly bleeding because there's a hole, like the stitches are opened up. So it was different, but it was good. I rehabbed it. I ended up rehabbing it for the whole 10 months. I got cleared, felt pretty good about it, and started practicing with the team, finally feeling like I was a part of a team again, like being off to the side and like, I don't know, it was just a different experience, but finally started like practicing with the team and feeling like I was a part of something again. And like right when I thought like I was about to just start being able to play again, I tore it again. So I played for like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks and tore it at practice. I wasn't fully cleared yet. Like I was cleared enough to like scout team and just kind of help out with drills. And so that's what I was doing. I was just like, had a pad and I just stepped down and it just tore, popped. I got an MRI. They told me that it was torn again. And again, just like start crying. Like you just don't know what, like I just didn't know how to react. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I just started crying, just thinking like I just worked so hard and like went through so much pain for 10 months. And now I got to restart that whole process again. And like, yeah, it's just, I didn't even know what to think. So, so I think that was around like October. Around October. And so like middle of the season, October, I get my surgery again. And that was another thing. They were like, we didn't know, where to take my graft from. So like, typically, like they take your patella tendon, that's like the golden standard or whatever they call it. But obviously, I already used it. So I had the option to either use my quad tendon from my same leg or use my patella for my other leg. And like when they first told me that, I was like, oh, like I'm definitely not, like this is my good knee. Like no one's touching this knee. But just like after talking to a lot of doctors, talking to Brian, like Brian's like my best friend. Brian's like, a father figure to me. Like I literally call him dad all the time, and like I trust him. And so after a lot of like just conversations, we decided the best possible like knee that I could, well, the best possible like, option I could take would be to like take the patella tendon out of my good knee, put it into my bad knee, take my T-band out of my bad knee, and just like relocate it to give me a little bit of extra support. So that was definitely like kind of like the biggest surgery, but it was supposed to give me the best possible chance, and that's all I wanted. I didn't want to play and something happen and just live with that. Like, what if I would have done that? So I was like, you know what? I'm not even taking any chances. Like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do it right, and like just, and it's gonna be good. And so that's what we did. I got surgery on both my knees. I went home and just laid in bed. I couldn't move. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get up to use the restroom. Like, it was definitely like a low point in my life. But I think mentally that was one of the best. Like, I think I was the best mentally that I've ever been since I've been here. Like during that time, I was doing really good mentally, and like I was okay. I was fine. It was hard, but like I was just really positive about it. Like I don't know how, but I was just really positive about it, and I just needed something to keep me busy. So I've always wanted to start a clothing brand. I've always been into drawing. I've always wanted to start a clothing brand. Like I remember growing up, my sister and I would like be, you know, just shopping for clothes, and like you know, when you're little, just like the little graphic t-shirts that say something funny. And like, I remember just like always thinking like, man, I think I could do that. Like, I think I could draw something like that and think of something funny to write on it. And like, I remember me and my sister would always like think about buying one of those little heat presses and like making our own shirts. And like, it just never really happened, but it was always something that I found interesting and like, could see myself doing. And so right after my surgery, I ordered a hoodie from a small like Houston local brand. And, I was like, man, like, I feel like I can do this. Like, this is something that I really think I can do. And like, what better time to do it than right now? So, I downloaded Photoshop on my computer and like just started trying to come up with like designs. And I made like two or three designs. Like, I still have them, but like, it was just really frustrating. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I had these like what I thought were good ideas, but I couldn't put them onto the computer. Like, I just didn't know how to do that. I'm like watching YouTube videos on like how to like add text or like how to delete text, like this, like the super basic thing. So like, I felt like I was very limited and like, I just didn't have the knowledge to like just know it all. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I did that for a little bit, and once I was able to start walking, I kind of put it to the side, didn't really think much of it. It was more of just like an escape for me. Like, it was something to keep me busy, keep my mind off of football, keep my mind off of the pain. Like, I was just in so much pain. Like, that was, it was bad. And like, yeah, I was doing it for fun. But then my knees started getting a little better. Started being able to walk, started like, right. That surgery was really weird, 'cause I got my surgery. I came out of that surgery like really, really good. Like, I had my range of motion was good. My strength was still like pretty decent. I was almost walking at like 2 weeks, like with no crutches. Like, I was feeling really good. But then like right at 2 weeks, like my knee like swelled up. I lost all my range of motion. I lost all the progress I had made. I lost my whole quad, like my leg shriveled up. I was like, I lost 14 pounds. Like, it was rough. But like once I kind of got past that, I kind of just put Buried Alive to the side and just started focusing on like my rehab, started focusing on football again. But my knee just didn't feel the same. It just didn't feel right. It was just like loose. That's the best way I can I don't know, it was weird. And like, they did the ACL test on me a million times. They're like, oh, man, it's still there. Like, we can feel it. Like, maybe this is just going to be your new normal. Like, you've already had two big ones, like two big surgeries. Like, this might just be your new normal. And so we did an MRI. They saw like they had put a stitch in my meniscus the surgery before. So they saw that the stitch had kind of opened up. And when it came to like my ACL, I had three metal screws in there. So they couldn't really, it was kind of like messing with the image. So they could see my meniscus was kind of opened up. My ACL was like blurry, or like they couldn't see it. And like the IT band graft thing that they had like kind of moved over, that was fine. So they're like, well, like we have kind of like two options. You can either just keep rehabbing and just like hope that, you know, things kind of just tighten up, you know, you gain your strength back, maybe like you'll feel more stable. Or we can just do a scope and just kind of like go in there with the camera and just look for ourselves. And like, instantly I was like, okay, well, I've already gone two big ACL surgeries. Like, what's one little hole in my knee? Like, it'll be 2 weeks of like, you know, for the incision to heal. Like, that's nothing. So they're like, okay, well, we can do that. But if we find out your ACL is torn again, like while we're in there, we're just going to go ahead and fix it. Like, we're not going to wake you up and then tell you, okay, we got to put you back down. Like, they're just going to go ahead and fix it. And like, yeah, we're just going to fix it. And then if that is the case, then, like after three ACL surgeries, you might not be able to play football, or like, we don't know how your knee would be able to hold up to that. So that like kind of obviously changed like the whole, like my whole thought process behind it. Like, where I was quick to be like, okay, let's do the scope. But then they told me that, like, I remember Brian calling me and like my heart just sinking. Like, I'd always like, obviously after two ACLs, like medically retiring and stuff like that had been in the picture, and like I thought about it but never really like took it seriously. I was like, there's no way, like, I'm gonna just keep playing. I came here to play football. I want to keep playing. Like, my ACL is not gonna stop me from doing that. But then hearing it from like a doctor, and then hear it, like, especially like Brian, like, that's my guy. So like hearing that from him literally like made my heart drop. But I was like, you know what, like, it's gonna be fine. It's just my meniscus. They're gonna go in there, it's just gonna be my meniscus, and then in 2 weeks I'll be fine. I'll be playing again. So this was like right before the Alamo Bowl. So we go to the Alamo Bowl. I was like, you know what, let me like and just enjoy this experience, because I don't know how much longer I'll be able to play. So let me just enjoy this experience. Let me go home. I haven't been home in like 6 months. Let me go home. Let me see my family. Let me enjoy being home. And then right when we get back in January, I'll get the scope and they'll fix it and I'll be fine. So that's what I did. But when I got back in January, we did the scope, and like I woke up not knowing if I had 2 holes in my knee or 6 holes in my knee. Like, I had no idea. So I asked her, like, as soon as I saw like a nurse or whatever, I asked her, like, what did they find? What did they do to my knee? And she just told me, like, well, we had a whole ACL reconstruction. We took your hamstring tendon to replace, and like replaced it with your hamstring tendon, and we just cut that piece of your meniscus out. And again, just like tears, like, I didn't know what to say, what to do, just started crying. And yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was going to be like my best possible knee, and it ended up tearing 2 months into my rehab, and we still don't know how or why. It was, I don't know.
Is that when you went back to Buried Alive?
Again, just didn't know what to do with myself. I can't move. I can't walk. I can't practice. So I'm just kind of at home with a bunch of free time. And then obviously I'm thinking like, oh, will I be able to play again? Like, they said we'll rehab for 12 months, a whole year, and just see how you feel when you're cleared. And if I want to keep playing, I can keep playing. And if not, then I'm obviously like eligible to medically retire, but that wasn't something that I wanted to do. So that's kind of when I just kind of went back to Buried Alive. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to try this again. And I'm going to just like really see it through this time. The first like time that I kind of started up the first couple of designs, that Buried Alive was supposed to be like a sports brand. It was supposed to like be about like the Houston Texans and the Rockets and the Astros, and have some skeletons and skulls, but like it's supposed to be like a sports brand. And then my plan for it was obviously like to grow it into something where it wasn't just Houston, it was every sport and every brand and every state and every team. But then I guess like after everything that happened, and like when I was like, okay, I really got to take it seriously now, like, I don't want it. I told myself, like, I didn't want it to have like anything to do with sports. I just wanted it to be a streetwear brand that I could wear, and express myself, and just like hopefully like make people happy with it, you know. So yeah, that's what I did. I started again designing stuff. I had asked for an iPad for Christmas, and like my parents have always been just super supportive of anything that I do, and so they got me an iPad, and I started using like Procreate and just like messing around with different like templates and making mock-ups. And like I remember making like 3 different shirt designs a day, and like I thought all of them were like super cool, and I was like, dude, this is awesome, like this is so much fun. And like I'm like grabbing just like pictures right off the internet and putting them on shirts, like not worrying about anything, and again, like not really thinking it would ever actually become something, but just having fun with it. And then I guess eventually like I started looking for like a manufacturer. I found a manufacturer, and I remember literally like that same night that I found that manufacturer, like thinking I was going to order something. Like I literally almost ordered a sample from that manufacturer like that same night. And like literally I'm texting them, like, and they're across this, like they're overseas, so like the time difference is crazy. I'm texting them like 2 a.m. because they're 2 a.m. over here is their like middle of the day. So I'm texting him in the middle of the night, like super excited. I'm about to order this like hoodie. It was a hoodie that I was going to order. And I was like, no, like, this is so dumb. Like, I can't, like, I got to sleep on it. Like, I know I'm going to regret it later. Like, and like samples are expensive because they don't want you to just buy one. They want you to buy hundreds. So I slept on it, and just like kept designing stuff. Finally came up with like my first shirt that I was like set with. I was like, this is going to be my first shirt. And like, I'm going to figure it out. So I texted different manufacturers, ordered a bunch of samples from different manufacturers, just like trying to find the best material, find the best quality. And yeah, just like a bunch of trial and error. I remember getting my first sample and like being super excited about it. It like shipped to my parents' house. I don't know if I like put the wrong address or, but it shipped to my parents' house. And like, I remember FaceTiming them and like being super excited, and like they opened it up and I was like, what is that? Like, it was just not anywhere close to like what I had planned. Like, the shirt was supposed to be gray with like an acid wash, and it's supposed to say buried alive across the neck and have like a skeleton, like kind of like rib cage thing on the back. And the material was real bad. The quality, like the way it fit, it was just like terrible. The acid wash was super inconsistent. The letters were crooked. The back like print was like, it was like a direct-to-garment print, so it was like a big sticker. And I was like, okay, like, now what? So, and like, I remember just being like, dang, like, how do they mess this up so bad? And like, going back through the messages and like I thought I told them like the screen print, and I thought I told them this and that. And like, going back through the message, I didn't say anything. I literally was just like, can you make this? Like, okay, like, here's my money. And so obviously, like, I had to learn, like, okay, the different types of like GSM, like the different types of cotton, the different types of stitching, the different types of prints, the different types of size charts, like all that I had no idea about. So like learning the, like, I guess just like the simple like vocab and like learning like what each certain thing means. And like, I was able to just order more samples and like actually be a little bit more specific with it. And then I finally got like a sample that I kind of liked, but it wasn't perfect. And I was big on like, I want my brand to just be like a good quality shirt. I don't want it to be like a real cheap shirt with a cool design. Like, I want it to be the best quality that I can possibly make it. So, I ended up changing the design completely. And I was like, you know what? No one can get this like acid wash right. I'm just going to make the shirt black, right? Like, you can't really mess up black. And then I changed the front. I was like, the buried alive across the neck was like always crooked or just misaligned or just not consistent. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it right in front. And so that's what I did. I changed the design. I tried a new manufacturer, and they sent me a sample, and I fell in love with the shirt. I was like, dude, this is like the best shirt ever. Like, I was wearing it all the time. It was like a little bit, like, I wanted it a little bit cropped, but it was like a little too cropped. And like I washed it and it like rolled up a little bit, and I was like, Jesus, like, this is like almost like a tank top, but like I was still wearing it all the time. And like, even if I wasn't wearing it out, I was wearing it at home. Like, I like fell in love with the shirt, and I was like, this was some, like, the first time I had made something that I was like really proud of. And so like just like talking to the guys, and like, they've always been super supportive of me, and like, that's like the biggest blessing that I've had is the support that I have around here. And always feeling like someone's got my back, and like my ideas aren't dumb, and like, you know, people haven't, like, just supporting me. So I showed the guys, and like, people were, Genesis was quick to start just like modeling it for me and like just stuff like that. So definitely just like kept me encouraged, kept me like motivated to do more and like keep designing stuff. So I ended up ordering my first like bulk order. It was like only 60 shirts, but I added an inch to the bottom of the shirt so it wasn't too cropped, and like, I tweaked a little bit, like little things here and there, and then I ordered the shirt. And I was, the plan for that like drop, I guess, was supposed to be just 60 shirts. So I was thinking, okay, I'll sell a few of them to the guys, obviously sell some to my friends and family, whatever, and then the rest I'll just put online and just kind of see what happens. Like, I wasn't expecting it to sell out. I wasn't expecting to make $1 million off of it. I was just like, you know what? let's just see what happens. Worst case scenario, I got a bunch of cool shirts that I really like. I could just give them away, or like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. So I get the shirts and like I bring them to the facility, and like I think I sold out in like 3 days. Like I would have sold out in one, but I didn't bring all of them. I only brought like 10. And like I sold them all, like I sold half of them at BDK, and like they were just buying them off me like left and right, and it was just the best feeling ever. And like I think at first like I was scared that like the guys were just buying the shirts because they felt bad for me. I didn't want my brand like and I think this is why I haven't done this yet, is because like I didn't want Buried Alive to be that one kid's brand that tore his ACL. I wanted Buried Alive to be something that like people wore because they actually liked the shirt. And so like I sold out, and like it was super cool. I was super happy and just like super thankful for the guys for supporting me. But I think what really like made me happy was seeing the guys wearing the shirt like when I wasn't there. Like, you know what I mean? Like people are saying to me like, oh, guys sit like wearing the shirt to class, or like we go out, or in like, and I see like four or five people wearing the same shirt, and like I'm like, dude, this is awesome. Like I made that, like I did that. And so that was what really like made me happy. So then I used the money that I made from the 60 shirts and bought 100. I was like, okay, let's see how many I can really sell. So sold a few more to the guys, and then started like reaching out to little like local stores that I would shop at, and again, just like lucky enough and just blessed enough that I got their support, and they were always like super supportive of me and like always liked the brand. So I was able to get it in like Khan's Closet, and then South Six Bodega in the mall, Soul World in the outlet mall, and then like Drip Zone right on Speedway, and like it was awesome. Like I was able to get my shirts in there, and then just really like, I guess, like seeing random people wearing it, that was like a whole nother level of like, dude, this is awesome. Like this guy doesn't even know who I am. He doesn't know my story. He just liked the shirt. And that was like what really, really motivated me to like, I got to keep doing this. I got to keep making shirts. I got to keep it going. So then I used that money. I bought 50 hats. And I bought 140 of the camo shirts. And so, yeah, just like, I just kept doing that and selling them to the guys, selling them to the stores. And then just like, it just kept building and like seeing people wearing it out more. And like, it was such a cool experience for sure.
That was so cool. When was it that you went to a conference to promote Buried Alive?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We went to Ohio. So that was before my camo drop. So yeah, I went with TB and MJ. Like they took me out to Ohio, and like we had this whole like athlete conference thing, and like it was super cool. I was able to like have my own little table. We put all my shirts and my hats out there. Got to meet a lot of like athletes that were either like professional or collegiate athletes that really had like similar stories to me. All of them, I mean, obviously all of them weren't playing anymore for some reason. Like most of them were injuries, some of them obviously just were lucky enough to be able to retire, but even the ones that retired were like, okay, well, what's next? Like you still have so much of your life to live, and there's just so much possibilities, and they have all the athletes there obviously have such a deep network, and they have so many people and connections that whatever they do will kickstart and just will do good. So that was a really good experience for me to like know that I'm not the only one out there that like is kind of in this situation. And my situation is unique because although I had all these injuries and I kind of wandered off into like my own little thing, I can still play football. So it's like, yeah, my knees, like I always say, like my knees don't feel good, but they feel good enough. And like that to me is all I need. Like as long as I can keep playing and keep doing the shirts and making Buried Alive, like that's what makes me happy.
How cool was it to see your former teammates now in the NFL, Mike Wiley, Jordan Morgan, for example, wearing Buried Alive and pulling up to their games?
Dude, that was another huge thing. Like when Mike Wiley wore it, I was actually in Ohio still. So that was like that was the coolest experience. Like I had just finished the conference. We had gone to like lunch or something or breakfast. I can't remember. And then like you sent me that picture, or like you sent it to me and she showed it to me. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like seeing guys in like the league, like wearing it and just them supporting me is like what means the world to me. Like this brand has really changed my life. And like, I don't know what I would have done without it. I don't know how I would have made it through all those like hard times without Buried Alive. Like as corny as it sounds, like it like almost like saved my life. Like I really think that like Buried Alive has changed me so much, and like I've learned so much from it, and I think I've just become like, I've just learned so much about myself too throughout this whole process. So like I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. Like you know, like if, I don't know, just I really think it was just meant to be. Like I wouldn't change it for the world. If I can go back in time and not play that snap, I don't think I would do it. I think I would still play that snap and still tear my ACL and still come here and tear it again and then tear it again. Because at the end of the day, if I didn't tear my ACL three times, I wouldn't be sitting right here wearing Buried Alive.
How did you come up with the name?
It felt like I was buried alive, like in my injuries, I guess. Like it's kind of corny, but that's kind of like how it came to be. Like I was really just thinking like of a, I was like, what am I going to name this? Like, and yeah, like I've always liked like skulls and skeleton type of things. So like, and I'm just like, dude, like I just kind of feel like I'm buried alive right now. Like I'm here. I'm still eligible. I'm still on scholarship. I'm still getting coached. I'm still getting rehab, but I can't play. And it's like, I came here just to play. I literally graduated early just to come here and play. And the one thing that I came here to do, I can't do. And so like, it felt like I was just buried alive in all the things that were just piled up against me.
When was it that you started working with TB and Beyond Football?
TB came here at like the perfect time. Like, I think I remember the first time meeting TB. I literally remember like calling my mom after and being like, Mom, I just met this lady, and like, she's literally like, I feel like she's more excited about Buried Alive than I am. Like, she just has like such a positive energy that comes off her, and she's always just super supportive. And I was like, dude, like I seeing how TB reacted when I told her about Buried Alive and telling her my story made me even more excited about it and made me like really believe in myself because she believed in me. So yeah, T, I can't thank her enough. Like she, again, like she's like another mom to me. And like she's helped me so much through this whole thing with like starting my LLC and like starting like trying to get like Buried Alive trademarked and like with the website and just like marketing and like, or just simply just like, hey TB, like I had a rough day, like I could just go into her office, or like TB has helped me beyond like what I can even like express. Same with MJ is like a sister to me, and like it's so weird because like MJ almost comes off like she's like a mother figure. Like she's just like an older sister, and MJ is also great. Also has helped me out so much. I can FaceTime her whenever I need to and just be like, hey MJ, like I need help with the website. And then also she's just always super positive. You always see her like singing and dancing and stuff like that. So it's like I don't think I've ever seen MJ in a bad mood. Like she's always positive, and so I feel like everyone needs something like that in their life. Like, no matter how bad my knee hurts or how good or bad practice was, like, I know I'm going to go into TB's office and they're both going to be, like, excited to see me and just, like, greet me with a smile on their face. And it's going to just make me feel better about my day no matter what I went through.
What's next for Buried Alive?
So, like, right now, I currently dropped this shirt right here. I'm wearing it. It's called the Starborn Tee. And, the whole like idea behind the shirt was to kind of represent like my whole journey. So this is definitely my favorite shirt. It's something like I put a lot of time and effort into, and like I'm really proud of it, I guess. So like the three stars, me and like one of my buddies like helped me design it, and he actually drew it. So like the three stars represent my three ACLs, and when like the stars align perfectly, you can see the skull. And so, and this is actually a drawing. So these are all a bunch of dots that he drew. The shirt is actually cut into three different pieces to kind of represent like my three ACLs. And then the shirt is sewed back together, but it's all kind of like misaligned. So it's kind of like how I was cut into, you know, cut up a bunch of times and then sewn back together. But like every once in a while, my knee will pop and like be crunchy and stuff. So this shirt like means a lot to me, and like it's one of my favorite shirts for sure.